There's so much I want to tell you about this piece of scripture. I'm not going to be able to do it, at least not all of it. I do need to tell you one thing from before this piece of scripture. When we first meet Abram and Sarai, it is in a genealogy, just before this. I know, people usually think that the Bible, especially the Old Testament, has a lot of genealogies. They're boring and you don't know why they're there. It turns out that every one is has a nugget of gold in that riverbed. All you have to do is pan for it and eventually you find it. Now, this particular genealogy traces the line of Shem, one of Noah's sons. And in this line, there are 70 generations up to Abram. And what we're told is that Abram's dad lived in Mesopotamia, the Fertile Crescent, Babylon, whatever you want to call it over there. And he decided to move, and he brought Abram and his grandson Lot and their families, and they started heading away. And they ended up in Haran, which is sort of north of where Israel is going to be, or is now. And there they stopped. They settled down. The only real comment about who these people are is that they are a part of Shem's line, and that Sarai is barren. That's it. That's all we know. And what's the next thing we're told? God appears to Abram and says, "I've got a deal for you." That's it. That's all we know before God says, "You, I want you to do this, to be this." And this is the foundation of why Jews are called the chosen people. Because God said, "You, I want you." That's it. Why did God choose Abram? Well, you've got as much information as anybody else. There seems to have been no reason, no foundation. It was just God choosing. God made a choice. Now, I do think that the fact that we're told that Sarai was barren becomes a part of the story in a very important way. Because in the Old Testament, again and again, it is the barren women who eventually become key figures and no longer barren. The New Testament sort of flips that on its head. And at the beginning of the New Testament, instead of an old woman who gives birth, we have a really young woman who gives birth. But in both cases, and in all these cases, part of the story seems to be that where there is no life, no hope of life, God says, "I got a deal for you." No life, life. It's a big, big theme in the Bible. But here we have Abram. God says, "You." And then God says, "Here is what I want you to do. I want you to go to the land that I will give to you. I want you to leave the land that you're at. I want you to leave your father's house, your father's household, all the people that you know, and go. And if you do that, You will be the father of a great nation. And in fact, so great will your nation be that you will be a blessing to other peoples and nations. That's the promise, the covenant, if you will. Now, with Noah, there is a covenant with all people that God has made, and God sort of gives up a little bit of God's power and says, I'm not going to destroy the earth again with water. God gives up a little bit of God's power. Every time God makes a covenant, God limits what God will do a little bit. I find that very cool. Now, in this case, we have Abram doing what God says immediately, letting go of his father's household, his family, his land, and picking up his wife and bringing his nephew Lot with him and heading to a land that God will show him. By stages, we are told, they get there. They get to Shechem, and there is a visitation by God, and God says to Abram, this is the land. It's filled with residents, but this is the land. And so Abram builds a little idol to mark the place where God visited. They go on a little bit farther, and there's another sort of chance for God to speak, and Abram builds another little altar, little way of pointing out, here God was with me. I think that's pretty good. And then we're told that he's slowly, by stages, making his way towards the rest of this land that God has promised. We should be impressed with Abram. Abram had to pick up his entire family and become a pilgrim and go to this promised land. This morning, I saw the choir having to pick themselves up and move into worship. And they couldn't decide at first if they were going to have a robe or not robe, if they're going to sing the introit, if they're going to stand in the back and then come forward, or just go here and then stand and sing. And can you imagine an entire household trying to, pretty much at the spur of the moment, figure out how they're going to leave everything and go to a land that God's going to show them? Well, I got a small sense of what that might have been like this morning. Yeah. And yet, Abram did that. We should be impressed. But here's what I really want, maybe even need, for you folks to notice, that there is this promise of community, of a land, of a people, of a great nation, promise of that community to replace the old one. Don't lose sight of that. But focus for just a little bit on the rest of that promise. Abram, that entire people, nation, received this promise that they will be a blessing. That's what they're chosen for, to be a blessing. Not to be blessed. And between our own history classes and the history of the Bible, we know that these people were not blessed. They are to be, however, a blessing. A blessing. So much of a blessing that if somebody else blesses them, they get blessed. And if someone curses them, is difficult with them, becomes a problem, well, they will have their own problems. That's how they're fitting into God's choice, to be a blessing, to be chosen to be a blessing. And I think that that's the same choice that we get to have today as Christians, as Protestants, as Sharon Church. Can we be a pilgrim? Can we let go of our father's home, land, and people? Can we let go of our mother church, all of those things that we understand as part of who we are and as our sense of community? Can we pilgrim away from there to be a blessing? Not for any gain, just to be faithful. Not because we will grow, but because that's what we're called to do. To be a blessing, because that might just be our purpose, our reason for being. To be a blessing. That's it. And the reason why I want you to focus on this, the reason I need you to be aware of this scripture, this foundational scripture for all of Judaism and all what we call the Old Testament, is because it has our purpose laid out to be a blessing. Jesus is going to say it in other ways. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, do these things. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Be a blessing. But this is the start right here. Be a blessing. For no other purpose, no other reason than that's what God wants. And it's important for us to have that clearly in our mind if we're going to invite people to be a part of this community. Because if we can't say why we think that they would like to be a part of this or what this is, then there's no compelling reason for them to join us. They're not going to pilgrim away from wherever they're at. If we can understand that our purpose is to be a blessing and not to be blessed, we have some clarity for our work and our efforts, our missions and our ministries. We have a reason to say to people, hey, we're doing this, and if you'd like to be a part of this, come on, let's go. If we're going to be asking people for money, and we're going to be asking you folks as well as other folks for money, but we cannot articulate how we're going to be a blessing, then what we're left with is, we got a nice steeple. We need to keep it. Give us money. More than that, but maybe not much more. And if we don't want to be an institution or a club or a meeting place, we've got to remember God saying, be a blessing. So, we can be like the choir and pilgrim our way, either the long way or the short way. We can have robes, we cannot have robes. We can decide ahead of time if we're going to sing an introit, or decide right in the back there what we're going to sing. We can stumble and fumble and meander our way around like Abram did. We can be clear what our message is going to be in some ways, or we can say, hey, I just saw a whole bunch of stuff this morning that somehow seems to fold into a sermon. So I'm going to give you that sermon folded in right now. But it's a lot easier doing any of those decision-making things if we have some clarity about our purpose, our meaning, our value, our call, our vocation, to be a blessing to all peoples, all nations. All does seem to be important there. So, as we move through the fall, remember, life can come even when something is barren, closed. Remember that sometimes we got to move. And remember, we need to be a blessing. And I hope that I can help you folks be clear how you have been and can be a blessing and reconnect you to all those ways that you can bless other peoples and nations. But for now, let's just focus a little bit on purpose. And amen for now.